That is our cry this morning, Lord, that we love you. You are our God. Our lives are yours. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for all that you are. And I pray that, Lord, in this meeting, that we would hear so clearly your voice. And that, Lord, you would have your way in our hearts and in our lives. I pray, Lord, for your hand to be with us today. We welcome your Holy Spirit to speak to us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can take your seat. Thank you. And good morning, everybody. Now, we have to work on this. Good morning, everybody. Selamat pagi. Terima kasih. Thank you. It's always great to be back here at Praise Center. I love coming here. And I pray that today that you would not just hear my voice, but I pray that today you would hear his voice speaking to you. And so it's exciting. This is my first Sunday to be with you this year. And I look forward to coming a few more times as well. Now, just before I come to the message today, and I'm really looking forward to preaching today, this word is in my heart, just a quick advertisement, and that is, I wrote a book, and I've brought it here before, called Inside Out, which is a biblical and a practical guide to self-leadership. And the basic point is that it's relatively easy to lead people, but it's hard to lead yourself. And what does it mean to be a leader? And it starts off with leading yourself. And this book has a look at a number of topics about how to lead yourself in very practical areas of self-control and self-discipline, self-development as well. Very practical, loads of stories in there, but you'll find that the Bible truths will come forward with great power as well. It's not just a book you'd read at night. You'd probably doze off. But it's a book that's... It's more of a reference book. You have a look at different times and stages of your life. It's available at the back there. There's only three left. So if you're interested, you're welcome to purchase one at the end. Okay, I want to get straight to God's Word this morning. And I want to turn your attention to the book of 2 Samuel. And in a moment, I'll be looking at a story that transpires in chapters 11 and 12. And we'll just be choosing a few verses from here and there to tell the story in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. Now, as you know, your pastor has set the theme for this year called the fear of the Lord. When you're focusing upon having that reverential awe of who God is. And when your pastor mentioned to me that that was the theme for this year, I began to seek the Lord about what he wants to say through me. And I want to speak into that theme by having a look at the topic of secrets. Secrets. And so the title of my message today is that one word, secrets. I want to ask you a question, and it will be on the screen up here. What is your biggest secret? Or in other words, what's the last thing in the world that you want people to know about you? Now, this is a rhetorical question. There's no need to yell back at me the answer. But I want to ask you again, what is your biggest secret? What is the last thing in the world that you would want people to know about you? For the great reality is that almost everyone in this room has a secret. And many people have things in their lives that are hidden and buried. And many people don't realize that hidden secrets have got consequences. But what we're about to learn today is that the Lord wants to expose and deal with those secrets because he wants us to be free. Amen. And the story that we're about to have a look at today is the story of a man who tried to bury a secret from God. It was a very sordid secret, but God did a work inside of him so that he would be free. But before we begin to have a look at what God did to get him free from the secret that he had in his heart, we forensically need to work out how did he get into this mess? How did David get to a place where he had this secret hidden and buried inside of his life? And we begin to find the answers for that in chapter 11 of 2 Samuel. So how did David get into this mess? The first thing we see is this, that David was not doing what he should have been doing as king. David was not doing what he should have been doing as king. In 2 Samuel 11, verse number 1, it reads that in the springtime, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. In those days, because of the weather in winter, hostilities would stop. There would be no war. But when the roads got a lot drier and the conditions were better, they would go back to war. And this was springtime. And so Joab, who was the commander of the army, went out with the army and defeated the Ammonites and had his sights set on the city of Rabbah. But incriminatingly, the last sentence of verse 1 reads, "But David remained in Jerusalem." And this is the all-important verse. David was not doing what he should have been doing as king. He should have been out there at the front of his army. But he was not doing what he should have been doing as king. He was not out there with his troops. He was not involved in kingdom activity. Now, it's not stated, but it's strongly implied by what transpired that David had a little bit of pride in his heart. He had had victory after victory. He'd had success after success. And maybe he thought to himself, well, now's just time to sit back and survey my kingdom. To a lesser degree, this is very reminiscent of Nebuchadnezzar as well. He let somebody else, that is Joab, do what he should have been doing. And the lesson there for us is you'll always end up in trouble when you're not doing what you should be doing, when you're not living the way you should be living, where you're not in alignment with what God wants you to do. Now, I'm not asking you today about whether you're busy or successful or occupied in your everyday world. What I am asking is this: are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Are you doing what you know to be the will of God? Are you involved in kingdom activity? Are you doing what you're gifted and called to do? Or are you, like David, abdicating your responsibility to somebody else? And the first reason that David got into this mess and he had a buried secret, but he was not doing what God had told him to do, what he should have been doing as king. Number two, the second thing we see from David about how he had this buried secret was that David was looking where he shouldn't have been looking. David was looking where he shouldn't have been looking. So he wasn't out with his troops in the front line, and one night he couldn't sleep. And verse 2 reads that he was walking around on the roof of his palace, and he saw a woman bathing, and she was very beautiful. For whatever reason, David couldn't sleep. And so what he did was he was wandering around the roof of his palace, and he saw a woman bathing. Now, there probably wasn't much he could do about the first look, but obviously he kept looking. David did not turn away. David, in our language, did not change the channel. David did not log off the website. David did not deal with the desire that was growing inside of him. In these verses, there is no evidence of restraint or struggle or resisting temptation inside of him, because he noticed here she was very beautiful. He was looking where he shouldn't have been looking. And the lesson is straightforward, that we will always end up with buried secrets unless we deal with things straight away. Whether it's a lustful thought or a bad attitude or an unforgiving spirit or a negative mindset, a problem in our marriage or disobedience to God, you will always end up in problems if you don't deal with things straight away. And I urge you, as the Spirit begins to reveal things to you today about you, deal with them immediately before they begin to take hold of your life. Remember Jesus' practical advice in Matthew 5, verses 27 to 30, where he was speaking about the danger of adultery. And he said, if your eyes are causing you to stumble, pluck them out. He said, if your hands are causing you to stumble, he said, cut them off. Meaning that if temptation is coming to you through your eyes, that is things that you look at, he said, don't look. And if temptation is coming to you through your hands, through things that you are touching, he is saying, don't touch. Or in other words, deal with it. Be decisive. Don't let that stuff get a foothold inside of your life. But for David, he didn't turn away. He didn't deal with that thing. He was looking where he shouldn't have been looking. And that leads us to point number three, the third reason why David got into such a mess. David acted upon his thought. David acted upon his thought. So he saw Bathsheba having a bath, and he saw that she was very beautiful. And verse 3 says, David sent someone to find out about her. He should have resisted the temptation. He should have gone back to his palace, but he didn't. He sent someone to find out who she was. And they came and they said, oh, that's Bathsheba. She is married to Uriah, who is one of your mighty men. And tragically, even after discovering who she was and to whom she was marrying, verse 4 goes on to say, then David sent messengers to get her, and she came to him, and he slept with her, and then she went back home. See, friends, a second look and a second thought is never satisfied. It entices us, seduces us, reasons and persuades us that we need to have gratification. The Apostle James put it beautifully in James 1, verse 14. He said, each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. And then, after sin has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. What you think about, you will eventually and inevitably do if the opportunity arises. And the lesson there for us is obvious. A foothold will become a stronghold once we act upon our thoughts. And again, this is true, whether it's harboring a bad attitude, or maybe it's gambling or an illicit desire, or not putting things right when it's in our power to do so. If we do not deal with things and we start going there over and over again in our mind, we will get into trouble. And David acted upon his thought. He called Bathsheba and he slept with her. And then she went home. But there's a fourth reason why David got into so much trouble and had a buried secret. Number four is, David discovered that secrets and sins have consequences. David discovered that secrets and sins have consequences. Verse 5 records, the woman conceived and sent word to David, I am pregnant. And as a result of him acting upon his thought, in David's case, a life was conceived. His secret could no longer be hidden. It was soon to be revealed. It was soon to be visible. And the lesson is plain, that there are some consequences or some laws, inescapable laws in Scripture, and they are cause and effect, or to use the Bible words, sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, verse number 9 reads, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And the context there is the battle between the spirit and the flesh. We have these two natures within us. We have our earthly bodily nature, which has desires and impulses and urges. And we have the supernatural nature of the life of God by the Spirit living inside of us. And whichever one we feed will become the dominant power in our life. If we sow to the flesh, then we will reap a life of destruction. If we sow to the Spirit, we will reap eternal life. If we live to please ourselves, we will live a life of disgratification and indulgence. That's just going to end up in darkness. But if we live a life that pleases God, a life of self-control by the Spirit of God, then we will live a life that pleases Him. But what we learn here is that secrets and sins have consequences. You can bury them all that you like. You can ignore them and suppress them all that you like. But hidden secrets have consequences. And every secret is like a seed sown into the ground. Inevitably, eventually, inescapably, it will grow. There is a consequence. There is an effect. So David found out that the woman he slept with was pregnant. Number five, a fifth thing we see forensically here about how David got into such a mess was David tried to cover up his secret. David tried to cover up his secret. So David now knows this woman is pregnant. He thinks, what will I do? So he sends a message to bring Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, back from the front lines, back from the army. Because he was thinking this man will come back and he will have the urge to merge. He will want to go to his wife. He will want to sleep with his wife. So he conceived this plan to disguise his actions. And so when Uriah came, David said, how is the battle? How are things on the front line? How are the morale of the troops? Hoping that after that Uriah would go to his wife. But Uriah was an honorable man. And he said, how can I go and have pleasure with my wife when all of my friends are on the front line facing the enemy? I will not go and have these pleasures. And so he slept in the king's palace. The next night, David thought, I need to get him to go and sleep with his wife to disguise the fact that I have got her pregnant. So he got Uriah drunk, hoping that Uriah in his drunken state would go and sleep with his wife. But Uriah was an honorable man and he did not go and sleep with his wife. So plan A had failed. And then David concocted plan B. And David sent Uriah back to the front lines with a message for the commander Joab, which was, put Uriah right in the front where the resistance is fiercest. And then as they begin to fire back, withdraw all the troops so that Uriah will be killed. And that's exactly what happened. Uriah was there fighting among the strongest resistance. And all of the troops withdrew at Joab's command. And Uriah, this innocent, brave, loyal, upright man of integrity, was killed. All as a result of David trying to cover over his sin. And there's a very salutary lesson here that sin will lead to more sin and burying secrets produces more secrets. That when we just try and disguise it and try and act like that nothing's wrong, it will produce even more disaster in our life. Now at this point, David seems to have got away with it. After Bathsheba had mourned for Uriah, David then took her in as his own wife, and she gave birth to their son. And for all intents and purposes and appearances, life seemed normal. The home would have seemed happy. The family was growing. And at face value, some may have even applauded David as being this benevolent king who is caring for one of his slain mighty men's widows. All of the nasty stuff seemed to have disappeared. David may have thought that he got away with it, that no one would know. David may have felt that his actions were sufficiently disguised so that no one would know the truth. David may have even reasoned that everything seemed to be okay, so God can't be that upset about what he had done. Life was going on and on and on. And in these verses, there is no hint of remorse or repentance or sorrow. As far as David was concerned, the secret was hidden and buried. It was like David had said to himself, I'm just going to move on with my life as if nothing had happened. But something had happened. And the very last sentence of chapter 11 reads like this, verse number 27, but the thing David had done displeased the Lord. The thing David had done and displeased the Lord. And that's where we come to point six here, about what we learn from David about hidden and buried secrets. And the point six is, David was to discover that God will uncover the secret things. David was about to discover that God will uncover the secret things. About 18 months later, the prophet Nathan is sent to confront David. And in chapter 12, verse number 1, to read, the Lord sent Nathan to David, and Nathan skillfully began to weave this story. And he said, King David, There were two men in your kingdom, and one of them was very wealthy, one of them was very poor. One of them had many flocks and many herds, whereas one only had one little lamb. And the poor man raised this little lamb. This poor man shared his food with that lamb. And here's a picture, not of that lamb, but of another lamb to remind you. And he would drink with that lamb. That lamb would sleep with his kids and sleep in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. And Nathan said, King David, a traveler came through and stayed with the wealthy man. And the wealthy man, rather than kill one of his own flock, stole the one lamb from the poor man, slaughtered that lamb, and gave it as a meal for his guest. Well, when David heard this, he was furious. And in chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, it reads, David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. And isn't it amazing how when we've got hidden secrets, we can be hypocritical, self-righteous, and judgmental about others. And everyone else has faults, but we don't see our own fault. And David's angry about what Nathan has told him. And then eye to eye, and without flinching, and with prophetic authority, Nathan declared to him in verse number 7, "You are the man." And that wasn't a compliment. He said to him, "You are that man." Nathan declared to him all that God had done in David's life, how that God had raised him up from being a shepherd boy on a Judean hillside to be king over united Israel. But in contempt of this, David had despised the word of the Lord. And the Lord held David personally responsible for killing Uriah, even though he hadn't actually shot the fatal arrow. And as far as God was concerned, David had stolen Uriah's wife. And then Nathan said, "You will not die for your sin, but there is going to be punishment. There will be a consequence. The sword will never leave your home." He said, "Your wives are going to be adulterous, not in secret, but in broad daylight." And he said, "The child that has been born out of adultery will die." And what we learn there is always a consequence to secrets. Hear me, friends, there's always a consequence to things that we bury in our lives. For the first time, David realizes the depravity and the gravity of his sin. David's secret has been exposed. The light of the Lord's knowledge has floodlit David's soul. His secret sin has been uncovered. And before we begin to see about how God dealt with that secret thing in his life, we have to ask the question, why does God uncover the secret things? Why does God want to deal with the secrets of our heart? And here are the reasons. Because secrets show that we despise and have contempt for God, whereas God wants our life to honor and reverentially fear him. Secrets belong to darkness, lies, and deception, whereas God is a God of light and truth and transparency. Secrets are areas in our lives which remain unexposed to the light of God's grace, whereas God wants his people to be in repentance. Secrets bind us up on the inside and affect our lives, whereas God wants his people to be free from the secret and the hidden things. God's heart is for his people to be free from all of the consequences of secrets. Things like our residue and baggage, our unconfessed, unforgiven sin, our bitterness, our brokenness, our distrust, our mistrust, our disbelief, our unbelief, our hopelessness, our emptiness, our guilt, our shame. God wants us to be free. He doesn't want us to live with the baggage and the residue of that stuff inside of our life. The Lord wants us to be free of every limitation so that we can have intimacy with him. so that we can have Christ-likeness in character, so that we can have honesty and integrity and authenticity, so that we can fulfill His purposes in and through our lives, so that we will have wholeness and holiness, so that we will be all that God has called and redeemed us to be. The Lord wants us to be free from the hidden and buried things so that we can be who He has called us to be. God's desire is to take us to new heights and new depths in His purposes. But sometimes there are many internal barriers and boundaries and blockages which are the secret things that may be unseen, unclean, untouched, unexposed to God. And sometimes God has to confront us and show us those things in our life so that we would live in the fear of God. So after David's secret had been exposed, what did he do? What can we learn from him that we can apply to our lives so that we too can be free of the secrets that are hidden and buried inside of our life? Number one, or the first thing that David did was he acknowledged and confessed his secret sin. David acknowledged and confessed his secret sin. See, when he was confronted with his secret, when Nathan said, "You are that man," he had a choice. He could either deal with that thing or he could harden his heart. And in the same way, when the Spirit reveals to you things about your heart, maybe you've even forgotten about, that you've pushed down out of your conscious memory, but the Spirit reminds you of them, you have a choice. I can either deal with this thing before God or harden your heart. But after Nathan's prophetic confrontation and declaration, David immediately responded, verse 13 of chapter 12, "I have sinned against the Lord." Likewise, may we learn from David and deal with our secrets. Sometimes we don't deal with our secrets because they're painful or shameful or confrontational. Or perhaps like David, they're so hidden and so buried within our lives that we don't consciously even think about it anymore. It's like, oh, it's okay. Life is moving on. I still feel God's presence in worship. And sometimes it takes a prophet, or in our case, in a New Testament sense, the work of the Spirit of God to bring conviction to our hearts and our consciousness as He begins to probe our hearts. And if the Spirit is speaking to us today through us, through the preacher or through someone who's very close to us, my point is, be honest today. Be transparent today. Be courageous today to deal with that secret. Acknowledgement and confession brings whatever is hidden into the light. And darkness cannot remain where there is light. Let the light of the Spirit probe your inner recesses today. Give Jesus your whole heart. Let there be no hidden compartments in our heart, but open up our heart, our all, our yieldedness totally to Him. Let the grace and the power of Jesus invade your soul today so that you can be free from your secrets. David acknowledged and he repented from his sin. And in Psalm 51, David fully elaborated upon his acknowledgement for prayer for God's mercy. And that powerful psalm shows David's depth of repentance. He didn't just pray, "Oh God, I'm sorry, I feel bad because I've done something wrong." No, David called out for mercy. He called out for renewal. He called out that God would cleanse him from the roots. He called out that God would transform him. That's what we need today. Not just, "Oh God, I feel bad because I keep doing the same bad thing all the time. Oh God, I feel bad because as this guy's preaching, I'm feeling a bit uncomfortable." I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about saying, "Oh God, change me. Oh God, rip this thing out of my life. Oh God, I don't want this thing in me any longer. It's an impediment to my spiritual growth. It's a blockage to me moving forward. Oh God, rip this thing out of my heart." That's what Psalm 51 is all about. And the scripture says that every secret is going to be revealed one day. When Jesus warned his disciples about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, this is what he said. He said, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you've said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you've whispered in the ear of the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. And Proverbs in chapter 28, verse 13 says, he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. So my encouragement to you today is, if the Spirit is speaking to you about something hidden, a secret in your heart, acknowledge it, confess it before the Lord. Maybe you need to go and see one of the senior leaders in the church and just get that thing out and exposed to the light of God. Number two, the second thing that David did, he didn't just acknowledge and confess. Secondly, he bravely had to work through the consequences. David knew that there was going to be consequences of what he had done. And Nathan had said, the child that had been born is going to die. And no sooner had Nathan said those words than the child became gravely ill. David appealed to the mercy of God, and he fasted and prayed and pleaded with God for the child to be raised up. But the child eventually died. It was a very painful, salutary lesson that there are consequences of having hidden secrets in our heart. God is merciful and God is forgiving and God is just. And through the cross, we find immediate, complete and assuring cleansing from any and every sin. However, there are times when there will still be consequences for our actions. For example, because I've been a pastor for a very long time, I've had to sit with a numbers of couples where one of the spouses was unfaithful to the other. And almost always the betrayed spouse would forgive the other person. There was forgiveness there. But it took a long, long, long time, if ever, to rebuild trust. There was a consequence of the sin. And in the same way, if we've got secrets in our heart, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. In fact, it will be hard. We can find forgiveness and cleansing from God, but to really work it through and to be transformed, we've got to face the consequences. Maybe, as many men do, you're struggling with porn today. Well, maybe you need some practical tools to help discipline your time. Or maybe today your marriage is just unhappy, but you know before God that's not pleasing to Him. Work it through. Persist. It may take a long time, but it's worth it. Bravely do whatever you need to do to find wholeness, reconciliation, restitution, discipline, or deliverance from the Lord. But David, after he heard that the child had died, verse 20 says, he got up from the ground, he washed, he put on lotions, and changed his clothes. It was displaying an attitude of moving on and moving forward. It had been an incredibly painful experience, but he bravely faced the consequences. And let me repeat again, I'm not saying it is easy to work through the consequences of our secret things. It takes courage, it takes resolve, it takes determination, but it's worth it to find that freedom, to be in the presence of God and know that you are not a duplicitous Christian, but you are free and transparent before Him. That is a wonderful place to be when you know your heart is clean and clear and free before the living God. But maybe you're saying today, but it's so hard. I've tried to break through. It's such a stronghold in my life. I want to encourage you to remember the Christian life is impossible to live. Impossible. But that's why God gave you the Holy Spirit to empower you, to empower you to live the Christian life. And if you have His power and your willpower, you can overcome everything and anything in Jesus' name. But you've got to bravely work through the consequences. A third thing we see in David's life that he did to break free from his secrets was he was reconciled to God. He was reconciled to God. After David freshened himself up and he had some food, verse 20 says, he went into the house of God and he worshipped. So once David's secret had been exposed, once he had acknowledged and repented before God, once he had worked through the immediate consequences, he went straight into the presence of God. Because the reason that many people have secrets is they have drifted from the presence of God. They have drifted from the light that comes from his presence. And if you failed, and we all have, and if you've fallen at times, as we all have, the Spirit is working in your life even as I speak. So I want to encourage you, be reconciled to your merciful God. Draw near to Him. Fall upon your knees in reverence and awe and worship. What a God. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. What a Lover. How kind He is. How gracious He is. How merciful He is. Let us draw near to Him today and be reconciled with Him. Listen to the words of Psalm 103, verse 8, that says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever, for He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities." Let's today worship Him and enjoy Him and celebrate the freedom, the liberty, and the cleansing that we have in Him. If you want to be free of your secrets, oh, get into His presence. Sign up for this 5 days of prayer and fasting. Get real about living in the fear of the Lord, and you will know a dimension of living that you have never known before. And my fourth and final point here. We learn from David about what he did to break free from his secret was he began to live how he should have been living. He got into this mess because he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. This chapter concludes with David mustering his entire army, going to Rabbah. He got back to kingdom activity and he began to do what God had put in his heart to do. He began to do what he should have been doing as king. And if we are to break free from having secret things and to live in the fear of God, do what you should be doing. Live how you should be living. Align your life with the will and the purpose and the word of God. And then, my friend, you will begin to know transparency before Him. So my encouragement is this: live the way you are meant to live. Do what you are meant to do. Don't let your secrets impede you with guilt and shame or discouragement, but rise up, be free, live the life, fulfill the call, be the person that God has called you to be. At the end of the story, there's one really beautiful moment. And it's found in chapter 12, verses 24 and 25, where it reads, "Then David comforted his wife. Bathsheba was grieving over the death of their son. But David, he comforted his wife. He went in and he lay with her. And she gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon." Notice this. "And the Lord loved him. And because the Lord loved him, He sent word through Nathan the prophet to name him Jedidiah." Solomon, the name Solomon means peaceable. The name Jedidiah means loved by the Lord. David and Bathsheba's relationship had started off in adultery. It was soiled. But what this shows us is this: God can bring out such beauty out of the most soiled of circumstances. And you may feel like you're stained and contaminated by things you've done in the past. I want you to know today our God is able to bring exquisite beauty out of something that is seemingly disgusting. You know, when this baby was born, the Lord said, "I love this child." It was God's way of redeeming the circumstance before Him. So I want to encourage you today to remember our God is a God of redemption. Our God is a God of restoration. So in summary today, what am I trying to say? We are all standing in the presence of God. We're all here today in His presence. Nothing is hidden from His sight. Jesus sees everything in our life. And if there's things that are unseen by others, but unconfessed, things that we may have buried, perhaps an attitude towards someone. Maybe you're harboring a bad attitude towards someone, unforgiveness towards a person. Maybe there's a secret sin nobody else knows about, but the Lord does. Maybe there's some things that you've been grappling with and struggling with you can't break free from. Or maybe you're living one life in front of everybody else, but a duplicitous secret life behind the scenes. Today, what can we do, like David, to break free? We saw firstly, you need to get it right with him and acknowledge it. When you confess before God, you are opening up to the light that comes into the recesses of darkness. And say, Lord, I confess. I'm sorry. I seek your forgiveness and deliverance today. The second thing we see is sometimes there will be consequences. Sometimes you're going to have to work some stuff through. You're going to have some difficult talks. You're going to have to be transparent with some people. Work it through. Work it through, no matter how long it takes, because it's worth it. And as I said, the Christian life is not easy, and Jesus never promised it would, but he gives us his Spirit to empower us to break free. Thirdly, today, if you've drifted, if you're a little bit cold, a little bit hard, distracted by the things of this world, not doing what you're supposed to be doing, be reconciled to God today. Draw near to him. And fourthly, do what you should be doing. Live how you should be living before him, so that you can throughout this week and every Sunday and in your relationships and life groups, you can be real, you can be authentic. And may we today live in the fear of the Lord. Would you mind standing with me, please? Could I invite you, please, just to close your eyes? And the reason we're doing that is to shut out the distractions around about us. Just to close our eyes. As I've been speaking, somebody else has been speaking as well. It's the Spirit of God. I speak very general words, but when he speaks right to the heart. What is he revealing to you today? As he has probed your heart, your thoughts, your motivations, your secret world. What is he showing you today? What is he revealing to you? And the Lord in his mercy convicts us of things so that we can be free. He never comes to condemn. He never comes to judge. He reveals things so that we can be free, because those things are an impediment between us and relationship with him. Would you please take a few moments in his presence just to get some things right, just to get some things open and confessed before him? Whatever he's speaking to you about today, please just take a couple of minutes and just get it right. Welcome your Holy Spirit, Lord, to you today. We welcome, Lord, your Holy Spirit to show us everything that may be unholy in our lives. We ask you to search our hearts. We ask you, Lord, to search our thoughts. We ask you, Lord, to search the innermost fiber of our being. Please, Lord, by your goodness and mercy, show us anything and everything that is not consistent with your holy nature. Help us, Lord, to be truly set apart to be yours today. And I pray for people who've got secrets. The Lord, by your grace, you would help them to let go and to break free and to live in the fear of who you are. I thank you for this, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, touch our hearts. Give people courage. Give people strength, Lord, to face things. Help them to let go of things they may be harboring. Help them to break free from unseen chains. Help them to have, Lord, the endurance to work things through, to get through to the other side. I pray blessing over every person that is here today. And may the week ahead be a week of truly living in the fear of God, living, Lord, openly before you. Oh, God, reveal everything you want to deal with in our hearts. I thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Bruce, that you come to bless us. That's good. That's great. And it's really hot outside. Two things before you leaving. One thing, the first thing is you have to grab these books. So Monday to Friday, please spend time. Take a time to read each day. The devotional is written by Ruth. Thank you, Ruth. You make a big effort. And then you read that Bible. And you bring your Bible and you read this devotional every day. Spend time with the Lord. Okay? And then you can fasting, whatever you want. Okay? But I commit, Pastor Bruce, that I don't eat rice during this week. I love rice. I cannot live without rice. But because I fear the Lord, and then I commit, I don't touch rice. Okay, and secondly, Monday, we have worship here. Monday. And then on Tuesday, on Wednesday, for those of you who never heard about the Holy Spirit, baptism, Holy Spirit, please welcome here. On Wednesday night, you join us here, right? And Friday night, we will celebrate before we end up with our fasting, okay? That's good. Saudara, angkat tanganmu semuanya.
Lift up your hands.
Terima kasih untuk firman-Mu, Tuhan.
God, we thank you for your word.
Dan sepanjang minggu ini, biar Kau bicara kepada kami.
This week we ask that you will speak to us.
Di tengah kesibukan kami, biar kami bisa ambil waktu kami untuk diam di hadapan Tuhan.
In the midst of our busyness, God, we ask for the help to just slow down so we will hear
Bicara
from
kepada
you.
Kami.
Speak to us.
Buka apa yang belum pernah tersingkap dalam hidup kami supaya kami tahu secret kami.
Lord, reveal the things that we're not even aware of, God, that are deep down so we will know our secrets.
Supaya kami bisa hidup seperti apa yang kau inginkan, Tuhan.
So that we may ask you to deal with them, God, and we may live according to the way you have called us to live.
Dan hamba berdoa supaya setiap kami bisa mengalami engkau sepanjang minggu ini.
And I just ask, Lord, that all of us will experience you deeply this week.
Okay. Berkati mereka semuanya.
Bless all of us, God.
I speak blessing upon their life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you.